Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, December 30th, 2012.
Well, as you hopefully are aware of, we're at the end of the year. Again. And as the old year comes to an end and the new one comes upon us, there's always a lot of different thoughts that come into our head, whether we like it or not, whether you're sentimental or not. We can't help but reflect on the past a little bit, especially as you get older. You do a lot of reflecting. And then we can't help but wonder about tomorrow, about the next year, what there is for us. For some, the reflection on the past is full of regret. A lot of failures, miserable failures, that tend to depress us and discourage us. For some, it's full of wonderful memories, the wonderful experiences that you had. For some that glance toward the future, well, it's full of a lot of uncertainty, young or old. If you're young, usually you tend to look to the future with some anticipation, and rightfully so. But also it's difficult because you have no idea what's ahead, and you don't have the experience behind you to know how things are going to develop for you. So there's some anxiety involved. For others, the look to the future is full of hope, and to understand that there's some opportunities that might be out there. So a lot of different views as we look at the past and look at the future. It can be useful for us to do that from a Christian standpoint concerning our faith. It can be profitable for us to look backwards, and it can be profitable for us to look forward. In fact, what we'll discover this morning from the Word of God is that the Bible actually commands us as His children to do that very thing. He doesn't say do it at the end of the year necessarily. But we are to constantly look back and look forward, but with a purpose and with a balance. It's profitable for us as Christians to look back and to look forward, but with the flesh can take any good thing and make it bad. And when we become unbalanced in our looking back and looking forward, then that good thing that the Bible commands us to do actually not only becomes not so profitable, it becomes self-destructive. It brings us to destruction. It keeps us from the will of God. It keeps us from the fullness of His blessing for our life. And so what we want to do this morning is to consider the biblical balance. To what degree, in what way do we look backwards? What are we looking for when we look backwards? When we look forward, how should we look forward? What are we looking forward to? Obviously, the Word of God gives us that balance. That's the benefit of always being exposed to the Word of God in your personal reading, in your constantly assembling yourself together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, I really don't believe most Christians believe Jesus is really coming, because the Bible says the more that you see the day approaching, the more you assemble together. Why? Why do you do that? That we might constantly expose ourselves and give others the opportunity to hear the only thing that can give them hope for life and for eternity, the Word of God. In our search today of Scripture, we'll find that the secret of benefiting from looking back and looking forward is to not look at things, events, places, or even people, but to look for Jesus, His Word, and His will. When we do that, we will stay balanced. But when we begin to look at anything else, in that, if our viewpoint gets off of Jesus in any degree, our vision becomes a little unfocused, a little faint. Let's go to Exodus 13 to begin this morning, to see that the Bible commands us to look backwards. But for what purpose and why? Exodus 13 and verse 3. When we look back at not only last year, but over your life, however long that may be, and as I said, the older you are, the more you have a tendency to look back. Because when you look forward, as far as this life is concerned, the end is getting pretty close, and you've got a lot more to look back at than you do forward as far as this life is concerned. But young people, I want you to understand that this is profitable for you to look back not only on your young lives, but on the lives of others over many, many years. But look at it from the perspective of Scripture. And this is what Exodus 13, we'll start in verse 3. And Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten." He was setting the feast of the unleavened bread and the Passover. Jump down to verse 8 of the same chapter. "And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, 'This is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt.'" Jump down to verse 14. "So it shall be when your sons ask you in times to come, saying, 'What is this? What's this feast? What's all this ceremony? What's all this celebration and rejoicing about? What does it mean? That's something that happened so long ago. What are you all excited about that? What are you remembering that?' That you shall say to him, 'By the strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt and out of the house of bondage.'" Remembering that you are what you are, and you are where you are spiritually and in every other way because of God's faithfulness, because of what he's done for you. And in this side of the cross, we have a fuller understanding than they did back in Deuteronomy. Because of what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross, we are what we are, and we are where we are spiritually because of what he did. It's dangerous for us to forget the past faithfulness of God. This is why it's important. It's profitable for us to take time to meditate. In your prayer time, in your meditation time, as you read the scripture, take time to look back. But remember what you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus, for his will, and for his faithfulness to fulfill his word. But if we forget God's past faithfulness, you know what that leads to? It leads to arrogance. It leads to self-reliance. I am who I am because, well, I'm smart. I work hard. I'm talented. I'm this, I'm that. And therefore, I enjoy the life that I enjoy. Forgetting who we are in Christ because of what he did for us leads to a very dangerous position and attitude. Arrogance and self-reliance quickly leads to disobedience to the will of God. Deuteronomy chapter 8. "But if we remember that we are nothing apart from ourselves, we are nothing in ourselves apart from what Christ did for us, it'll cause us to understand today." And see, this is where the flesh gets unbalanced. When you focus only on the past or only on the future, then that means you're not living for Jesus today. But if we look at the past and look at the future with the proper perspective, it will cause us to live in loving obedience to Christ today. It'll cause us to live a life of victory and have a real relationship, fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ today. And Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 6 tells us, gives us this same principle. "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone," shall not live today. As you remember that yesterday, you'll know today. Man does not live by bread alone. Man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. "Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him." As Israel remembered God's past faithfulness, when they looked back in faith, it would cause them today to live in obedience to the Word of God. Understand, this was written under the law. But saints, today we have such a privilege. Today we can live a life of godliness, not because we grit our teeth and try to be good. We understand that the very purpose of the law was to teach us you can't do it. But it is simply a matter of yielding to the life of Christ in you. And as you look back and see the faithfulness of God and to see that we are nothing apart from the work of Christ on the cross, it's going to cause you to throw yourself in full surrender to the will of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and then in that surrendering, the result will be obedience. Today, because you understand God will always honor His word. It will cause you to look to Him for your present needs. Let's go to Psalm 77. He was faithful to the people of Israel. If you're honest with yourself, you will see that He's been faithful to you. And in those times when you say, well, He wasn't faithful to do this or to do that, if you're honest, you'll ask yourself, well, was I surrendering my will to His will? Psalm 77, verse 9. Has God forgotten to be gracious? He's been gracious in the past. Has He forgotten? Has He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. Pause and think about it. And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. When we remember the faithfulness of God to hear and to answer the prayers of men and women of faith, we'll understand that we can do the same today. He's the same God. He responds to the same faith, and so we can live a life of faith. In Hebrews 11 and verse 39 and 40, if you'll turn there, we understand that it's also good not only to look at God's faithfulness in your life, but God's faithfulness in the lives of others that have gone before us. Again, we have to have the biblical balance here, or we'll get ourselves in trouble when we think about the men and women of faith that have gone on before. But here is the scriptural balance and how we can benefit from looking at their lives and God's faithfulness in them. Remember, when we're looking at them, what are we looking for? Are we looking at them and their deeds? Is that our focus? No, we're looking at Jesus, Christ in them, and the result that came from them yielding to the Christ in them. And Hebrews 11, 39 and 40 says, and all those having obtained a good testimony through faith did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Go on into verse 1 of chapter 12. Therefore, because of their examples of faith, all the old worthy saints of faith in the Old Testament, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us today and for the future. Because we've looked back, today we live for God by faith, and we anticipate living by faith in the future. Looking unto whom? Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So here we are told to look back at men and women of faith, to observe and notice their examples, but not that we might focus on them, but that we might see the results of faith in the will of God. It will inspire us to imitate their faith. Now, where we get unbalanced in that, and what has been a detriment to so many, that too many times faithful saints that have come and gone are given a place in people's hearts that is not beneficial. In fact, it becomes destructive, and I'm talking about men and women that have lived by faith. Good examples. I'm not going to talk about the bad examples. because there are many. But too many times, doctrines of individuals today, attitudes today, are promoted and believed in solely because of what somebody else believed or taught. I was once told by a pastor when I was getting ready to teach that we don't want any teaching here except for what is in the books of brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. And at that moment, the red flag went up. Don't you mean the Bible? No, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. Well, the two that he mentioned, they were used of God in a mighty way. I have great respect for them. I look back at the examples of faith that I do see in their life. But they are not the source of truth. They're not the source of faith. God is. His word. And Jesus Christ. Jesus himself gave his disciples this lesson in Matthew 17. Let's turn there so we understand. I'm not talking about the bad examples. I'm talking about men and women of faith. We're to look at them as examples of the benefits of living by faith, but we're not to look to them as the final authority for truth. God, his word, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So we look for Jesus in them, and that's how we benefit from looking back. Matthew 17, 1-8. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Try to picture this and try to put yourself right there with Peter. I'm too much like Peter, I think. But try to imagine this glorious experience that they had. And behold, Moses. Nobody is a greater example of faith than Moses in the Old Testament. There are equally great examples, but Moses, he's there. And Elijah, miracle after miracle this man performed. And he appeared to them talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, in one of the translations, I like how it says, one of the other accounts says, Peter, not knowing what to say, said this. Sometimes it's better just not to say it. But he did, and we do. Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. This is the balance. Saints, we need to remember men and women of faith that have come before us. If you don't, young people, if you don't remember those that have served the Lord before you got here, you are not realizing the privilege and the opportunity you have because of God honoring his word in them. And it will lead to arrogance on your part. I've seen my generation depart from truth because they think they know it all. But I'm glad. I look back at some of my great grandpa Foster's sermon notes after I've been preaching for some 30 years myself, and I go through some of those notes and I say, wow, that's exactly how the Lord had revealed it to me. And I didn't hear that sermon, and I didn't read it till now. And yet, point for point, or doctrine for doctrine, you know why? It's not because Grandpa Foster passed that down to me genetically. It's the truth of the Word of God. It does not change. And I am part of the fruit of his ministry. Because he ministered to my parents and he ministered to my generation, and it came down to me that I have the same opportunity to benefit from truth. Young people, don't despise the past. But older saints, look with the proper perspective. Jesus was the one who was faithful in their lives. The saints that I appreciate the most and that have affected me the most are those that have pointed me to Jesus and away from themselves, just like the special that we heard. I've benefited from their life. I've benefited from their ministries. Hebrews 13:7. But when we simply start quoting and referring to people as if they were the authority, then we get ourselves in trouble. Hebrews 13:7. Remember those who rule over you. It's a command. Who have spoken the word of God to you, both past and present, and parrot everything they say exactly the way they say it, or if you don't, you're just messing it up. Is that what it says? Memorize their phrases. Talk like they talk. Say it like they say it. Didn't say any of that. It says, remember them whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Look at the example of how they lived their life in submission and surrender to the will of God and the benefits of such a life. And then you'll benefit by imitating that same faith. 1 Corinthians 11:1, one of the boldest things that the Apostle Paul could have ever said. He said here in 1 Corinthians 11:1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. I want you to read it because it's pretty bold. I can look back at men and women of faith that I can say, I want to imitate them. I want the generation that follows me to be able to say the same thing about me. That's not an arrogant statement, saints. I don't want them to quote my name and tell their generation about Doug Crook. They don't need to know my name. But saints, the next generation needs to know the benefits of faith. Saving faith, victorious faith, overcoming faith. They do need to know about that. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, Paul says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. That's how we benefit from past examples. We are to look back and consider the endurance of the test of faith. Too many Christians today are looking for something new in church. Look at all the fads in the church today. The mega churches today that are drawing people. Why are people being drawn? For the most part, saints, and I know there are exceptions to this, and I wish there were more, but for the most part, people are being drawn for all the wrong reasons, because they're looking for something new. They don't want that old past gospel. And I realize that there are instruments, our tools change with the times, and that's not wrong. I'm glad that I'm preaching from an iPad today and not from a stone. I'm glad for that. Our methods change. Our tools change. Grandpa Foster used the radio. I mean, he had broadcasts all around the country. Radio is not quite that effective anymore. Now we have the internet. I've got a web page that we use. The tools change, and they should. They must. But saints, the message doesn't change. The gospel doesn't change. Truth doesn't need updated. It doesn't need revised. It doesn't need more technology to be effective. It will change lives when presented in its simplicity. 1 John 2. And so those that don't want to look to the past and see the effectiveness of faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ are going to miss out on the power of the gospel. 1 John 2:24. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. John is talking about from the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, from the beginning of the church, the message that was preached. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. The Holy Spirit is that anointing. As I mentioned, the same truth that my Grandpa Foster lived by is the same truth that was revealed to me. And I don't have to go back and read Grandpa's writings to be assured that that's true. Because I have the very same Holy Spirit that he had. That revealed it to him that it was true. It's revealed it to me. And I know it's true because of the Spirit of God has revealed it to me. But it's the same truth. 2 Timothy 1:13. Don't abandon past teachings just because you think they're outdated and you're looking for something new and exciting. The new and exciting will leave you empty. But the Word of God will satisfy your soul. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Hold fast. Peter says the Word of God endures forever. We don't need something new. So that's how you look to the past in a beneficial way. You look for Jesus. You look for Jesus in individuals. You look for the benefits of living by faith in the truth of the Word of God. And when you do that, you're going to see, you know, that's a life worth imitating. And you can enjoy the same benefits of faith if you look back at the past with that. But now let's look forward. The future depends on who you're listening to and what your point of view is, but on many fronts, the future doesn't look very bright. Some are needing a job this year. Some are, their job's pretty shaky for next year. Some of us are getting older and we're wondering, okay, this has failed. Now what if that fails? And now here we go, starting to fall apart. A lot of scary questions. A lot of anxiety. But saints, we need to look forward. But we must do it with a look of faith. Not looking at what all the things that could or could not happen, good or bad, but understanding God will show himself faithful. Too many people look at the past and it becomes a substitute for living for God today. And too many people look forward with the wrong perspective that they're distracted for living for God today. Too worried about what's going to happen tomorrow to trust God today. And saints, that's not the balance that we want. Philippians 3. If you're looking at the past and you're discouraged because of disappointment, you're not going to live for God today and your future's not going to be much better. If you look at the past and are arrogant about your accomplishments, you're not going to rely on God today. And the Bible says that pride comes before a fall. So your future's not looking too great either. But in Philippians 3, this needs to be the attitude of the believer. Not that I have already attained. See, the Apostle Paul was accused of arrogance. He was accused of a lot of things because he preached the whole counsel of God that was revealed to him. Justification by faith and faith alone. Being led by the Holy Spirit for a life of victory, living in preparation for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ that we might rule and reign with him. Paul preached all of those things, and people said, well, you're just arrogant, Paul. You just think you're perfect. Paul says, I know. I haven't obtained already. Or am already perfected or completed. But I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That covers Paul's present and his future. I press on today because I look forward to apprehending. Haven't done it yet, not fully. But I want to apprehend that for which I've apprehended. Jesus Christ saved you for a purpose, and it was not just to snatch you from hell. If that had been all, that would have been sufficient. I'd been happy with that. But God's plan is so much more magnificent than that. He laid hold of me. He apprehended me to save me from sin, to give me life and victory today, abundant life today, and hope and glory for eternity. And I want to enter into the fullness of his grace and by His grace I can. But only if I get up today and I press on in the things that God says I need to press on in, to lay hold of the things I need to lay hold of. 1 Thessalonians 1. If you're worried about all that the future holds, you're not focusing on the faithfulness of God, who will give you everything in the future that He said He would. He said that all things work together for your good. Yeah, but what about this? What about that fiscal cliff thing? And now there's a milk cliff. I like milk. I don't want to go over a milk cliff, pay $8 for milk. What about all of those things? Now, when I say those things, it's not that I don't care, and it's not that I'm going to be unaffected, because I will, and so are you. But I guess that Paul said it best, but none of these things move me. From my position, from my faith, from my trust, from my service, from my devotion to God and the gospel of Jesus Christ and the sound doctrine that was revealed to the Apostle Paul, none of these things move me from that, because I know He will meet my every need and He will cause it to abound to His glory and my eternal good. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10. Here we see past, present, and future in the Thessalonians' faith. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait, past tense, you turned from idols, present tense, you serve the living and true God, future, and you're waiting for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Saints, the secret. Wanda will have a song in closing here, but the secret of honoring God with our reflections, looking at the past, looking at the future, the secret of serving and worshiping and honoring God today is for us to see Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same. Same faithfulness, same power, same love, same mercy that you see working in your life in the past, working in the lives of those that have gone before you. He'll be the same Jesus that will work and supply every need, spirit, soul, and body today, no matter what the problem is, no matter what the circumstance. He's going to be the same faithful shepherd that will lead you and guide you in the future, whatever you face. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His mercies are new and fresh every day. And when you remember that, then your devotion, your faithfulness, your surrender to the will of God will be also new and fresh every day. May we not allow our life and our service to the Lord, may we not allow ourselves to become cold and stale, either because of disappointments or because of arrogance, because of anxiety. Nothing. Put our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will rejoice. You'll be able to look at tomorrow, you'll be able today, say, praise God, I'm a child of God. Whatever happens tomorrow, Jesus is still Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and He's coming for me, and I want to be busy about the Father's business. May we press on, saints. Let's stand.